Hello and welcome everyone. I'm Pete Denby, co-founder of Hyperfinity, the decision intelligence platform for retail. This is To Affinity and Beyond, our podcast about all things retail and consumer with a keen focus on decision intelligence, data science and AI. On today's episode, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Ed Child. Ed is the global head of consumer data and digital analytics at Costa Coffee. He's previously held senior data and insight roles in major retailers such as Asda, Walmart and Studio Retail. Ed's a data evangelist who is hugely passionate about using data and technology to build insights and actions to drive business transformation. He's also freshly minted as a member of the Data IQ Top 100, which recognises the most influential people in data. In prepping for this episode, I worked out that I've known Ed for about 20 years, which makes me feel really old. Our first roles in data were for what's ultimately become part of TransUnion, but when we worked there, it was Eurodirect in my case and GMAP in Ed's. Before data science became sexy, we were using data to help businesses with data-driven direct marketing and location planning. Today, we'll be discussing the role of data in creating customer loyalty. Many of you will have heard management thinker Peter Drucker's definition of a business, to create and keep customers. And that's still true to this day. Retaining customers is key to business growth and success. In fact, research by Business to Company found existing customers spend 31% more than new customers, and they're 50% more likely to try new products. Meanwhile, HubSpot estimates it costs anywhere from 5 to 25 times more to acquire rather than retain customers. Businesses investing in customer loyalty see a host of benefits, including reduced costs, boosted profits, and a strengthened brand reputation. So, Ed, welcome. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to have you on. So to start off with, could you give us a potted history of your career to date and bringing it right up to date, your role and focused areas at Costa?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Pete. So my background is I've got a geography degree from the University of Leeds, and that actually first helped with my first stage into a career in data and analytics. So I actually firstly started working on GIS and store and location network planning, and that's where we sort of first met a long time ago. And it's actually surprisingly number of people in our industry who have geography related degrees. So go the geographers. So I started off sort of store and network kind of planning using sort of spatial interaction kind of models. So that was all about the application of geography and kind of data. I then got a role over in finance, which was my first sort of area looking into like CRM. So this was more back in the days of like direct mail. We then had a kind of dot-com boom, and I thought this digital stuff's all pretty interesting. So I then looked at opportunities to sort of move into digital and e-commerce and got a great role at Asda. So I spent a good long time working at Asda, where I joined as a insight manager in the Asda.com team. So that was a great opportunity to really look at how a large retail business was utilizing data and all the opportunities there. So I did a lot of kind of work there across analytics, visualization. I built Asda's first single customer view, did a lot around media effectiveness and measurement. I then got the opportunity to move over to Walmart US for 2 years, which was amazing. So working for the world's largest retailer, again, very data oriented role, looking at how we could tie a lot of Walmart's data assets together. And I sort of led the Walmart US marketing effectiveness team. And then most recently, I was at a e-commerce slash catalog company called Studio and took on an enterprise role there. And for the last 2 years, I've been at Costa Coffee. So I'm assuming most people do know Costa Coffee. We're the sort of UK's largest coffee retailer. And we have 2,500 stores in the UK, about 13,000 express machines. And we operate in about 40 countries worldwide. And I thought coffee would be easy because I've worked in like businesses where you've got hundreds of thousands or millions of SKUs. And I thought, you know, data and analytics a la Costa would be easy, but it's actually a great kind of like challenge because we have a retail business, we have a Costa Express business with our intelligent machines. We also have our FMCG business selling products in our supermarkets and our ready-to-drink business too. So, and my role is to look at how we can utilize and transform data and use it across Canal Costa, very much underpinned by our amazing loyalty data and sort of pushing on Costa's analytics capabilities.
Fantastic. So a very rich and varied background. What always fascinates me actually talking to you is this experience of working in the US, which not many people actually have. I know a lot of people have kind of maybe worked for US businesses, but mainly been working out of the UK. But you actually lived in the US, didn't you? What kind of cultural differences did you see working in the US compared to working in the UK?
Yeah, it was an amazing experience. I would recommend to anybody if you get an opportunity to really kind of like take it. So I moved out with my wife and my family, and it was a big personal kind of thing to kind of like move out there. But, you know, companies don't get much bigger than kind of Walmart. And I think even though Walmart is such a powerhouse of a retailer, you can still find opportunities in businesses that big where you can still make a kind of difference using data and analytics. And I say the US culture is kind of different, but I was like lucky because the Asda business and the Walmart business are so kind of similar. It was really quick and easy to like fit in. I think the best thing about over there was the weather, because it's just too wet over here, Pete. Too wet.
Today is a good case in point, chucking it down. Okay, good. Yeah, definitely advocate that. Anybody that gets the chance to travel with work, experience different cultures, I think it really, you know, adds to your experience having that aspect. Okay, so we're going to concentrate on customer loyalty and how data and analytics can help drive loyalty. And loyalty means many things to many people, but how would you define it, Ed?
Thanks for a really difficult first question, Pete.
Sorry.
No, I think loyalty, you kind of nailed it really. So loyalty does mean many different things to different like people. And I think as we talk kind of through this, so some people see loyalty as being something that delivers them financial rewards. Other people see loyalty as kind of like benefits of something through a physical location or a convenience. And then there's other more emotional loyalty where you feel a affinity to a certain kind of like retailer and connection. And I think every loyalty scheme is different, in honesty. And I think that's part of the benefit and the beauty of loyalty schemes, is how you can try to resonate with the right customers and the right audience with the right kind of things. So it's ultimately using personalization or capability, but I think loyalty schemes need to be need to resonate with different audiences to be really, really kind of like powerful. And ultimately, a loyalty scheme is all about value. Consumers need to feel kind of value, whether that is through emotional or financial, but value is that kind of key bit that you need to make sure, otherwise it just doesn't exist.
Absolutely. And then gave a lot of thought to loyalty. Customer loyalty and explicit loyalty schemes in preparation for recording this episode with you, Ed, and thinking about, you know, the kind of loyalty schemes that I personally interact with, and what would motivate someone to become a loyal customer, and whether it's all about financial rewards or actually is there something much greater than that. So I think as we go through the episode, we'll think about some of the different schemes that are out there. But, you know, for now, we'll concentrate on we'll concentrate on the data and analytics aspect and how that feeds in. So in your view, how can data and analytics be used to help build customer loyalty?
So I think the most obvious answer and the thing that people most normally jump to through application of loyalty schemes is therefore personalization. And it's that element of going, how do we use all of this amazing data that you're capturing through a transactional loyalty scheme to then translate something back to your consumer that means kind of like value. So that could be through CRM, it could be through triggered marketing. It's back to the old, you know, marketing adage of right consumer, right time, right kind of promotion. I think all that's just got a bit more complicated, because there's actually lots of different like channels that we can talk to consumers. We see different generations of consumers utilizing media in different ways. And we also see that different types of consumers also have different like needs. So it could be some people are driven more by credentials and sustainability and impact on the environment. Other people are driven by speed or convenience. Other people want to make a real kind of like saving. But I think personalization is one of those kind of key like pillars really that underpins most of this, that as a consumer, when you share your data, you expect it to be used and sort of delivered and therefore delivering value back to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So then we get on to thinking about how data can be collected. So I guess the more you know about your customers, the more you might be able to personalize that experience. But then we've also got to consider, you know, what's an acceptable trade-off. So for example, you know, you work for Costa, for example, there's perhaps a limit to the amount of information you can ask a customer for. There's got to be a legitimate reason for, you know, asking information so that you can deliver that personal experience back. Then perhaps some of the companies out there that would offer loyalty type schemes can, you know, have the remit to capture lots and lots more data depending on the nature of the business. So yeah, from your point of view, how do you kind of get that balance right between, you know, asking a customer for information that helps you personalize that experience but not really kind of crossing the line so that they feel uncomfortable?
Yeah, you know, and you have to bear in mind our loyalty scheme is very transactional because it's all about delivering value back to consumers by you purchasing drinks in like store, and we will deliver value back to you through a free drink. Therefore, I don't need to know a huge amount about you. And we've recently gone through an exercise where we minimize some of our data capture because there's elements of going, you know, it's actually in our interest to make the registration experience as simple as possible. So the key for us is understanding what you buy and therefore trying to personalize or make things relevant to you based on your transactional experience. So, you know, the kind of data and analytics that we do in this is probably not what you would expect. So we've got recommendations work, looking at next best kind of like product, market basket analysis, looking at kind of like pairings and capability to offer you relevant upsell and kind of cross-sell, lapsing models and segmentation. So all of these things which just help us understand you as a consumer, and therefore how do I best understand your interactions with us, and therefore we can be most relevant to you with our offers, personalization and targeting.
Yeah. Okay. And is your feeling that I don't mean for Costa specifically. I mean more broadly. Do people value things beyond I guess money saving ultimately? Because you know the classic is you buy 10 items and or 9 items and you get the 10th free. And then even look at some of the like really really well known loyalty schemes. So I guess two of the most well-known loyalty schemes in the UK would be Tesco's Club Card and Boots Advantage Card, and ultimately they're both about giving money off products. In fact, Tesco are extremely explicit with that now. I think in Tesco stores, they literally have a club card price and a non-club card price, which is a pretty strong motivator. And I'm sure there's some pretty strong behavioural psychology behind it as well, and that plays on people's FOMO of missing out on great prices. It's, you know, certainly it works on me for sure. But how much do you think people are? Do you think that the main motivation is for customers to be able to save a bit of money? Or do you think actually some of the other loyalty mechanics around discovery and wanting to be associated with a particular brand, do you think they're still very powerful as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is why I think it's important to not think of loyalty as a necessarily always one size fits all. I think ultimately everybody wants kind of like value, but within every kind of brand or retailer, you've got super fans, right? Who are, you know, just love everything that you guys do. So how do you recognize them? How do you create them them like different value or unlocks or sneak peeks or understand more about your likes of the business's history or other kind of like pieces, which just helps you build that relationship deeper and deeper. So you're moving away from the financial to more building that emotional kind of cue. And I think, you know, some businesses do that really well. I'd say probably Tesco has gone financial, which is, you know, it's so simple, it's easy, and you get value. But it kind of depends on your like brand and how you, what kind of relationship you want with your consumers. Because in honesty, it's a bit harder with something like groceries.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing that springs to mind, so Amazon Prime, do we class Amazon Prime as a loyalty scheme?
I don't think it's loyalty. I think it's more the subscription piece that has you kind of locked in. And I'd say Amazon does some things fantastically well. And I know Amazon is talked about a lot with loyalties and data and things like this, but I think it's actually really, really hard because you use Amazon for just about everything. And I also do a huge amount of like gifting with Amazon. So some of these things are very difficult for Amazon to build a relationship with me, because what I'm like buying on Amazon is so kind of broad. I think it's still difficult for Amazon to really know kind of me. So I think Amazon's got you more out of convenience and subscription.
Yeah, I think that's true. It must be very difficult for them to know customers. Yeah, to your point, because you probably like me, you buy stuff for your own consumption. You probably buy stuff in a business context as well. So, yep. You know, business books to read or whatever, and then also buy gifts. And those gifts could be for, you know, I've got a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old. So they might get gifts and then, you know, could be buying for friends, older family, whatever. So I think it's pretty tough for Amazon to decipher that, even with all their kind of intellectual horsepower and data and analytics skills. So I agree. I think it's the convenience factor that they win on, and this the fantastic supply chain, meaning that, you know, you can get stuff really, really quickly. And people sit on different, you know, sides of the fence when it comes to, you know, how quickly you need to get stuff. But, you know, in my eyes, I value being able to get stuff next day. You know, particularly if I've forgotten to order a present, for example.
Exactly. I think they've demonstrated functional loyalty, which is that like element of going, it's so easy. It's just your instant kind of like go-to. So it's just loyalty is there because it's functional, it's quick, it's trusted. It just happens. Do I enjoy it? Does it really make me go, wow? Not really, but you know, some things you just want it to like happen, and they like do that really, really well.
Yeah. Okay. Can you think of any pitfalls of using data and analytics in a loyalty context?
Yeah, I think you have to be kind of careful. So, you know, I think loyalty is super important, but loyalty isn't everything. So we're very lucky that we have a very high loyalty penetration of our kind of base, but there's still a huge proportion of your consumers and like base in any kind of business that you know very little about. So unless you're a e-com kind of like retailer, there's a huge proportion of your sales which are either cash or non-loyalty that you're essentially kind of like blind to. So it's, and ultimately, you know, loyalty consumers will be inherently different to a non-loyalty, and that could be through, you know, spend behavior, adoption to kind of like tech, etc. So you need to kind of make sure that as much as you utilize loyalty data, that's not telling you everything about your consumers. And I think all of us too, you know, don't use loyalty all the time. There's like times when you change cards, forget your thing, someone else buys, you use cash, all this kind of stuff. So loyalty doesn't like give you the like total kind of picture, but I think it's a great directional tool as long as you're aware of some of the kind of like caveats.
Absolutely. And something that we talk about a lot as a business is how, if you're collecting data that you might typically use for loyalty and personalization, actually that same data and the same analytics you can run could be used for a variety of other business decisions. I think this is really important. It's a massive opportunity for retailers and consumer-focused businesses. So from your perspective, how else do you think that kind of loyalty data might be used to make a wider set of business decisions?
Yeah, I think it's a really great kind of question. I think everybody jumps to personalization as your like first route. And for me, there are three kind of buckets of a real application use within loyalty. So number one, as we've spoken about, loyalty, personalization, CRM, engagement, all that kind of piece. Secondly, for me, is just that insight piece. So loyalty gives you this amazing lens to really understand your consumer. But how do you reflect that back into your kind of business? So your like business understands A, who your consumer is and how they're really operating with you. So for us, this is like kind of gold, really. So we need to understand who's buying kind of drinks, how their behavior's changing, how they're kind of switching between different things, how we can understand things that like loyalty wouldn't otherwise kind of like tell you. So for us, there's a huge opportunity in delivering insight back into the kind of business through analytics, reporting, dashboards, and making sure that your, like I said, the business really understands who your consumer is. And also, you know, loyalty consumers are kind of like different too. So you'll have subgroups within your loyalty too, and you're super kind of loyals, and we've all probably known and understood about Pareto principle, and that holds remarkably true. So how do you understand the value of your different consumers and make sure that you're getting more of those and not kind of losing your most loyal base? It's super important.
Yeah. And we see an increasing amount of our clients, particularly in the retail space, you know, kind of recognizing the value of understanding customer behavior, understanding what's going on with products, the interaction between customers and products, and using that to power these kind of personalized experiences that drive customer loyalty, but also to power a load of other decisions. So it could be you know, anything that feeds into the customer proposition. What products should I sell? You know, how should we price those products? Which Yep. set of products are competing for the same demand? You know, right through to, you know, those businesses with physical stores. And let's not forget, still most businesses done in physical locations rather than online at this time. So where should I, you know, where should we put our physical stores? You know, back to the days when we first, you know, kind of started out in the data industry, through to, you know, what's the range of products that would be most suitable for this store in this location compared to another location. So I think there's a gold mine of data there, really, in that kind of loyalty interaction type data.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the third kind of like bucket, which is that, you know, how do you use this from a more commercial lens? Again, how can we reflect this kind of data back into the kind of business so you can make better commercial or operational choices? So a lot of that can be through understanding consumer behavior is different in like different like stores. You may have different demographics, different like trends, different things going on. How do you make sure that you've got the right like products, the right pricing, the right range, the right propositions to suit the right consumer? Which is funny, really, because that's going back all the way back to my first kind of roles of, you know, using geographical data and, you know, consumers living here and moving there. And it's ultimately the same thing of going, how can we utilize data, whether it's, you know, business driven, loyalty driven, to actually make better informed retail choices? And I think there's the element too of going, you know, particularly in a post COVID world, consumers and behavior has kind of like changed, and loyalty really helps you here because you can now start understanding different behaviors, different patterns, how you can really optimize your retail networks. And footfall's changed, and COVID's caused a change of like work patterns fundamentally. So using kind of data and stuff here is absolutely key to make sure you can optimize businesses and efficiencies.
Yeah, exactly. Clearly you use the Costa loyalty app, as do I, I must say. What are the other what other loyalty schemes do you use regularly, and why?
Tesco is just so easy, and I think Tesco is just brilliant. And I believe when they changed their kind of scheme recently, that their level of loyalty adoption rose to something crazy, like 85% or something bonkers, which is unbelievable. But it's just instant value, right? And you feel like stupid if you're not using it. because you're just going in and then going, oh, I just saved £4 or £6. So it's easy and you get instant, you know, value. So I think Tesco, I think that's what uniformly used. I'm still obviously very close to Asda and sort of still, and I use the Asda Rewards app too. That's a kind of good one for me because, again, you can then actually save up kind of discounts and then sort of use that when you want. So it's, you know, good for seeing how it kind of like builds. And I think one that I watch a little bit more from a competitor point of view is McDonald's, because, again, McDonald's is such a like powerhouse and is moving rapidly to get more and more into the loyalty space. And again, you can, so for me, and obviously having kind of like kids who always want to go to McDonald's after after like swimming or something like that, I think it's, that's kind of like one for me to kind of watch, because I think they're going to do that really, really well.
Yeah. Some good examples there. I'm all for the ones where you can instantly see value, I must say. So I do use Costa. My local coffee shop in the village where I live is a Costa. So I use that. You'll be pleased to know. So I like the simplicity and the instant nature of the rewards, but I also like the fact that you can you get rewards not just as a you know, a free drink, but also that you get, you know, you might get a free cake on occasions, and I'll typically use that for a different mission, shopping mission, as we would call it. So I'll use that to take the kids in at the weekend so that they can you know, I give them a treat while, and I get 10 minutes peace while I have my coffee. So that's maybe how you should start advertising it. Give Pete peace from his kids' rewards. So use that. The Tesco one, I think, is, yeah, brilliant. I mean, I presume they've done their sums in the way that they've changed their rewards mechanism, but it's just, yeah, that instant value and the FOMO that you feel if you've not got your card with you. So I think that's really good. I use booking.com, and, you know, the more you book hotels through booking.com, yep, then you get better prices, and I think that's explicit. Then I think, where's the loyalty done poorly? So I think some of the credit card loyalty schemes. So I've had what was Avios, I don't know if it's still Avios actually, but a credit card through Lloyds, used to be a Lloyds Bank, a MasterCard, and an American Express. And I think it's just really unclear how much of, you know, how much of a reward you've got. And yep, you seem to be spending lots and lots of money and getting very little reward when it comes down to it. Yep. So I think anything that's, you know, those kind of points based systems, I think you know, they've definitely been superseded by the more explicit kind of cash based or, you know, free, yep, whatever it is, based rewards. So I think, I think the more explicit you can be, then people really experience that and get that hit of receiving the reward instantaneously.
Yeah. I'm still surprising, honestly, because there's a lot of loyalty schemes in there which require you to do quite a lot of kind of work in terms of like logging in, selecting your offers, doing things which must resonate with some consumers, or these things wouldn't exist. But I see that with several other supermarkets or things like that, where it requires you to like take an action and log in, and you can see some elements there of going, you're maybe getting an offer that's a bit more personalized, but personally I'm not organized enough to kind of like do that. But again, this is where it's interesting to see how loyalty can resonate with different audiences.
Absolutely. Okay, so that brings us to our final question. Where do you see loyalty heading in the future? What kind of trends are you observing?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, and I think, you know, going back to our kind of point about loyalty feeling simple and easy, and I think I wonder if in 5 years' time the whole kind of notion of us carrying around a wallet full of different loyalty cards and apps will just feel alien, that loyalty will just happen. So everything will be administered through your Apple Pay, Google Pay, or your like bank card, and that loyalty becomes frictionless, that you kind of pay and like loyalty happens, which from a consumer point of view is brilliant, because you can then just go, oh, this is just, you know, frictionless and just automatically happens. And then I think what that does like turn into is a really interesting challenge for retailers to then go, right, how do I like demonstrate the value of that loyalty back to consumers, because if you don't have an app or you don't have have kind of like something, you know, smashing them around the lights of the face saying you just saved £4. So I think it's going to be a really interesting conundrum to see if people get this really, really good, so that loyalty becomes so easy, but the challenge then becomes in the communication and making sure that the consumers feel real value from it.
Yeah. Okay. Cracking point to end on. So that brings us to the end of the episode. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe via your favourite podcast platform, tell a colleague, or send us your feedback to peterdenby@hyperfinity.ai. Ed, thank you ever so much for appearing on the show. Much appreciated.
Yeah, absolute pleasure. Thank you, Pete.
Lovely. And we'll see you all next time.